It's the Tiltcast, episode 640, In a Shell.
And this week, guys, we talk Doom the Dark Ages, Final Fantasy Tactics, Dying Light the Beast, and Borderlands 4. Stay tuned.
Just so you know, it's the first episode that's full length for season 17.
We're back.
It's the Tiltcast. It's an M-rated show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And with the three of us, you're going to get about 30 minutes of stuff. And then, yeah. Some games, but news is separate now. Everything's different. It's a new era. It's the first
not
video.
Different.
Yeah. It's still the same flavor of weird.
Yeah, it's this is the unscripted version. We've been trying the scripted thing for a while, doing the newscasts, and now we finally get to record something. It's a little bit more long form. I'm actually kind of excited to do it.
Yeah, I mean, change is weird, especially for me. I'm not big on change, and these bucks are trying to change me. So,
we're just helping you grow little pieces at a time. You know, every 10 years or so, we got to make you do something new, break you even further out of your shell.
It's not good. It's not good sometimes. I like my shell. I will stick around in my shell. Thank you.
Well, it is the first inaugural show of our video podcast, which we have not done before, and we've been doing this for quite some time. We've done some playthrough videos. We lost access to the YouTube. We created a new to YouTube. We started doing our new separate, and it's just different. So, I don't know. What's had about a month? What's people been doing?
Oh, man. My life flip turned upside down, man.
Not for the worse.
No, not really for the worse. No, this is a completely different studio. If you're just tuning in for just the long forms and haven't seen the short form YouTube content, just know this is a completely different studio. I'm in a house now. I'm practically domestic.
You made it sound like you like had your leg removed.
Right? I mean,
I mean for him, moving is kind of like leg removal.
It is change. Change sucks. Especially for me, I don't necessarily enjoy change all that much. This was absolutely required. I needed to have my own space, and just move closer to work, have my own space. Did I mention have my own space? It gives me something to focus on, and really, it's not a bad place at all. A little two bedroom, one bath, little house, not too far away from, you know, where I work. And man, I actually really enjoy this place. It's the right size for me.
You know, hopefully give you some privacy to game, I'm certain.
I mean, the very first room I set up was my bedroom. Second room I set up was the office and office/studio. And I've spent more money in this room than I have for the entire house and the outdoors. Just getting the right sound dampening in the room so that it didn't sound like an echo chamber, and getting everything set up the way that I like, and I spend most of my time right here. If I'm not podcasting, I'm gaming. If I'm not gaming, I'm sitting here watching YouTube or something. I don't have a TV. This is my entertainment. So I want this room to be like, you know, this is the setup. I have a living room. It is currently a storage room because there is nothing that goes in the living room. I don't have a couch. I don't have a TV. I don't have any of that. That's all storage.
Did you get to spend time playing games over the last month?
Well, when I wasn't building stuff and putting things away and, you know, trying to figure out a whole new, like, routine, like, don't understand. Changing your living space, you have to come up with a whole new routine. Like, waking up, taking a shower is different. You know, getting ready for work is different. Doing the things that you need to do to get, you know, get through the day, that's all different. It's all different. Like, I have to figure that out. Yeah, I have played some games. Mainly because I got to a point where I was like, okay, I've been working and then coming home and working on building things and putting things away and stuff like that. I need to turn my brain off and just like sit down and play games. So the fallback, you know, game I play a lot of is Final Fantasy 14. My buddy's been bothering me like crazy to play the game semi-regularly, and I'm like, okay, well, there's not much going on in the game, so I will just kind of like do a few things every so often. But nothing's like massively changed about that game. In fact, I'm kind of waiting for the next expansion to come out, and it's just kind of in a holding pattern at the moment. So there's nothing fancy about Final Fantasy 14 right now. It's just comfort game, right? The game that I'm looking, you know, that I've been putting most of my spare time into, is Borderlands 4.
Okay.
The way that I'm kind of attacking this game is I'm playing it slow. Like, there's a lot of people out there who's like, I'm max level, I'm farming legendaries, this, that, and the other thing. Look, I don't care about that. The end game for, you know, Borderlands has never really got, you know, never really captured my attention for any length of time.
Yeah, I think once I've gotten to end game, I'm just like, all right, well, I'm done playing.
Yeah, and that's me. I get to that, and maybe I'll do a little bit of, you know, a little bit of grinding for, you know, for some, you know, some cool shit. But after a while, it's just like, you kill bosses just because you kill bosses. Like, there's builds even in out on the YouTube lens right now for Borderlands 4 that's like one shot boss, you know, boss builds. Like, that takes all the fun away from the game. Like, I feel like having a little bit of challenge for, you know, for your bosses or having to do some mechanics is actually a good thing.
It's actually kind of fun.
It adds a couple layers of difficulty to the game, and if you just fucking steamroll everything, it gets boring immediately for me, and I have to move on. Like, it is like the sun creating iron. It's like the death of the sun immediate. I have a love hate relationship for any type of, you know, looter shooters. As soon as it gets to that point where you just don't change your guns ever because, I mean, you found the best one, or the, you know, the guns just like destroy things automatically.
I still haven't ran into that problem with Borderlands. What class did you end up going with?
I ended up playing the Siren. So I'm playing Vex, the Siren. I tend to stick with whatever the siren is for each one of the games, just because I like the idea of, you know, of elemental damage and being able to do some pretty crazy things. The sirens tend to be pretty crazy in the way that they like have their powers work. So with Vex, you have really three different kinds of, you know, of play. You can either be kind of like an energy vampire, where
I know some energy vampires.
Sorry?
I know some energy vampires.
Right. So you know, you just kind of like you grow, you can sprout wings, throw eldritch blasts, and basically heal yourself off of doing damage. There's a spec that basically mirrors her or makes spectral versions of her. One with a scythe, the other one with guns, and you basically one with guns, they're just like turrets you can put down and they just shoot in a direct, you know, at enemies. And the ones with scythes will actually just like will be a mobile tank, essentially. It'll go out, take aggro and, you know, keep attention. It's all right. And then there's like a Beastmaster style, where you have a, you know, a spectral battle cat, for lack of a better term. And that battle cat takes on all of the elements from your gun. So if I have a fire gun, it's going to be a fire cat. If I have an electric gun, it's going to be an electric cat. Yes. You know, things like that. And you can buff it, like turn it into a badass version of the cat, which it can take aggro and tank for you. It can, like,
so you're playing a hunter,
kind of,
from World of Warcraft.
So it's kind of a mix between some of the previous sirens from other Borderlands games, and like a Mordecai, where you have your
he was the one with turrets, you know,
yeah, your pets. No, Mordecai was the hunter.
Okay. Oh yeah, with the bird.
Yeah, with the bird. So, so it's kind of a mix between the two, but it adds extra elements to it, and the specs are kind of fun, because the more you kill, the, you know, with the cat spec, the more you kill, the faster you can actually turn your cat into a badass. And because your cat can actually die, it'll go away. But if you kill like one or two enemies, it'll respawn. So it's really, you know, really quite, you know, quite nice, because for the most part, you don't have to really worry about pressing your action skill more than just to like empower your pet, or have your pet like attack something. And when it, you know, when it like focuses on something, you can make it, do like a singularity, like a black hole style singularity, which sucks all the enemies into a spot, which is really great if you want to throw a grenade in there, you know, and just like, boom. So there's a lot of different little synergies that you can do. It's not the top damage thing, because I really don't care about the top damage thing. I want something that's fun. But you know, I've been playing around with different specs with Vex, and that's the one that I feel like I have the most fun with. But I mean, there's a Gravatar, which is, you know, a completely new, you know, style of class I haven't even touched yet, which is that's one of the other Vault Hunters. There's the Forge Master or whatever, and he's got fucking elemental axes that you can throw at, you know, at enemies and cause, you know,
I did the weird
status effect.
I did the Exo Soldier,
and then the Exo Soldier, which basically has like, you know, you can has a spec that, you know, has turrets on his back that just auto shoot shit, which is really powerful.
It's a get out of jail free card is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and if you go down, like if you get, you know, if you get killed, you go into fight or, you know, fight for your life mode, those guns will still continue to shoot. And they will bring you up, you know, they will revive you basically by themselves. So it's really, you know, really quite powerful. I played basically the, you know, the prologue with all four of the Vault Hunters. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to go with Vex and just, I'm going to go with it. For what I spent on the game, I'm going to try to wring as much of, you know, enjoyment out of it as I possibly can. Because it's not a cheap game. One of those, you know, you're buying into a $70 game situations. The thing is, overall, playing Borderlands 4 doesn't annoy me like any of the other Borderlands since Borderlands 2, which is saying something.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't annoy me. I think for me, I got ADD with it and decided I didn't want to pursue it for the moment. I'm going to finish it here at some point. I've just got other things that kind of caught my eye a little harder than Borderlands 4. Is that been the primary game you've been playing besides Final Fantasy?
Yeah, it really has. I've got some other games that I've just basically got on the back burner, but I mean, if I've got limited time, I wanted to put something in that was relatively new, that I could pick up and put down. And Borderlands is really easy to pick up and put down. You just get to a checkpoint and you can turn off, if you need to. So that was kind of a strategic, choice for, you know, something that's not an MMO, for me to play for, just for enjoyment, really. Anything more than that, it either has a time commitment of at least a half an hour, to do some things. Or I would have to like really get into it, you know? Cause I've really wanted to go back to, you know, to playing a little bit more of Monster Hunter Wild, since a lot of things have changed and it's been on the news lately. And I just kind of wanted to see what, what all the hate's about. But it's
another one that I got to end game and I was like, well, I think I'm good. I've gotten through everything. I know it's supposed to, this is where the real Monster Hunter starts, blah, blah, blah. I had several different loadouts. So like, I was just at a point where I was like, I think I'm good for now. I'll play some other things this year.
Yeah, it's...
I got like 65 hours in it or something. Like, I think I did all right.
Yeah, I mean, that was a, you know, I remember just going through and just like chewing through Monster Hunter World in Endgame, and I had a blast doing it. Like... I had a stupid amount of hours into Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, 74.2 hours last played March 16th.
For you?
Yeah, it's been that long.
Yeah. I have no idea. Like, I have to actually look.
Steam
app. I'm going to find out. Because I'm curious. Monster Hunter Wilds, I have 80 hours, 79.3 hours on that. And on World, I have 418 hours.
So there's something was missing.
Yeah, so for me, it was... There was a bit of a change in how Monster Wilds actually like tried to capture my attention. So it was not a bad game. I know a lot of people are pissing on.
I wouldn't say it's bad either.
It's a lot of people are pissing on, and why it's mostly negative is the performance, because it's a bad PC port, essentially.
I hardcore agree with that.
The the bones of that game are sound. Like, that game plays very well, like a like a Monster Hunter style game should, right?
Right.
It's maybe watered down a bit more than most people wanted. They really wanted to take the Monster Hunter the Monster Hunter play style and make it really approachable, like to the point of making it possibly too approachable. And there's something to be said about, like, there needed to be an Anjanath moment in Monster Hunter Wilds that didn't happen. Like, there was a, once you get to Anjanath and World, it was you're going up against not super aggressive, monsters, and then Anjanath is like, I'm gonna push your shit in. And you now have to completely relearn how you just like button mash. You can't do that anymore. You now have to prevent yourself from taking big hits. There wasn't that. There was a couple more interesting fights, I would say, but I think that that they played it safe overall. And then, of course, the Final Fantasy 14 crossover for this included the Omega fight, which is a boss from Final Fantasy 14, and they cranked the difficulty. Apparently, they cranked the difficulty all the way up to 14. Because people are saying that is way harder than any other fight in the game. I don't know how the Omega fight actually translates into Monster Hunter Wilds. I've watched videos of it, and I'm like, how does that even work?
It might be one of those things that eventually we link up and, online game again. That you got your own space.
Maybe. There is a possibility that could happen.
We have some games in common.
Yes, we do have some games in common. Yes. I am trying really hard not to become an ultravert, because that is very easy for me to do where I'm at right now. I did not know how much I needed to have my own space, and I have kind of gotten addicted to the peace and quiet in this house. So, I've not wanted to leave my little hidey hole. And I'm having a lot of fun just playing the games that I want to play in my own space and pump music wherever I want to pump. That is a thing for me.
But yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah, it's been fun. I do plan on playing some other games, eventually down the line. I've got a lot of stuff in the backlog. And I don't think I'll be buying very many new games unless something changes recently. I mean, I've got an Amazon addiction like crazy, and my credit card hurts. It hurts a lot. Especially when you move into a new place and you just need to like buy all the things. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I know. So, Jason, you've actually been gaming for once. Now that we're not doing the full length podcast every week.
I mean, somewhat kind of. If you call playing one game gaming. I am about halfway through Doom the Dark Ages.
Okay. There's been mixed reception to that game because it's not the second one.
I really like the slowed down pace. I'm okay with more methodical. And that's exactly why it's slow, right? The introduction of the parry system, you know, the different, the newer boss enemies, etc. I'll encourage you to wipe out all of the smaller enemies first, right? And then tackle the big armored dude on the field. And I really like that kind of gameplay. I also really enjoy the visuals of riding a dragon. Their mechanics don't work really well. Controls for that are kind of janky. But I do appreciate them trying to do something new with the franchise.
Fair enough. Have you, so you said you're about halfway through right now?
Yeah.
If yeah, you
about halfway through, but already halfway through, I think it's probably one of the best releases from this year that I've played so far.
That's fair. There's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of back and forth between different groups of people that either like or hate that game. And I think it's just the people that like the super hyper fast gameplay of the last one versus this one. And for me, I'm kind of the same mindset as you. I don't need it to be Quake 2. Hell, you're doing like shit in the air with that game. It just gets chaotic. And yeah, that's kind of fun. I suck too much to play that game. I'm going to be honest with you. I do. I suck too much to play the last one. And I didn't make it very far through it.
You know, it reminds me more so of the gameplay from Doom 3 and Doom 3 Resurrection of Evil, right?
Like, yeah, the first 3D Doom.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a pretty chunky game too. It wasn't incredibly fast.
No, it wasn't incredibly fast. It relied more on jump scares. It was that kind of game because, you know, Dead Space had been popular at that point.
Now, this was before Dead Space. Dude, Doom came out while I was in college, and you were still in high school, bro.
2004.
Dead Space wasn't even an idea at that point.
Yeah.
That's where they had the duct tape mod so that you could have a flashlight in the game because it's incredibly dark.
Yeah. But anyway, that had the whole jump scare concept more than anything, right? But there were certainly levels where it threw a lot of shit at you and it encouraged you to take out the lesser opponents before tackling the larger or more heavily armed opponent. So I feel like Doom the Dark Ages kind of went back to a little bit more of that style of gameplay. Only a little bit more, you know, Dark Souls-like in the fact that it definitely encourages you to use the new parry system a lot.
Yeah, if I had a big criticism of that game, it's just the soundtrack just doesn't hit nearly as hard as that first one. Well, And even parts of the second one where I had a better soundtrack. It's a very generic soundtrack. And I know that's weird. It's just the first one leveled up game soundtrack so hard that it's hard to get past the fact that Doom 2016 has a ridiculous soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's a soundtrack that came with the game that happened to be pretty good. But I agree. The gameplay of that, I do like. I think I still like the gameplay of the first one better than both of these, but I'm glad that we're not like going hyper all over the place like we did in two, because my old ass can't handle that.
My thing was with Doom Eternal was just giving up on the notion that I was going to, in every part of it, wipe out every demon. Because that's not even what once you do. Yes, there are sections of levels where it has you do that in a room to unlock the doors, right? But there's large bulks of those levels where it's literally encouraging you just to aggro run through the level.
Yeah, I never, like I said, I don't have enough gameplay of the second one because I gave up on it to comment too hard on it, but I didn't give up on Doom 3. I just, again, shelved it because there's so much coming out, and I think with us finally getting to having less of a furious pace on this podcast, of being able to focus down certain things because life is busier than it was 10 years ago when I was able to spend most of my time gaming. And now that I have to segment my time a little bit more, as well as Jason, right? Jason coaching two different sports teams on top of, yep, you know, everything else. Like I'm not in that same headspace or time space. I mean, Wednesday I'm going to be editing for Wednesday. I'm doing another photo gig on top of a regular job.
Oh, nice.
So having a little bit of space between podcasts, I think, is going to help with getting through things. And it's kind of where I'm at right now, is trying to get back through some stuff. I'm going to pick Borderlands back up, right? Cause I want to finish that before the end of the year. And it's already October, right? We got 3 months before we do game of the year. Go figure. But yeah, in the last month also, ton of photo gigs. Got some really good paying gigs. But the aside from that, where have I spent my time? I started Borderlands. And then on a lark, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try out Dying Light the Beast. I really like that game. I've got probably close to 30 hours in that game right now.
More zombie games.
It's a good one, though. It's a really good one. I would venture to say this is better than the first Dying Light. Again, it's definitely better than 2. It's scary as hell at night. I have killed a couple of the stalkers, or whatever they call them, the virulent, or whatever they are. The really, really hard ones. I've been able to kill a couple of those guys so far, which was pretty satisfying. Probably overleveled my character a little bit. You start out with some of the abilities that you had in the first game already, because it went back to using the first character, Cal Crane. Voice acting's pretty good. Story's pretty decent. Tone of it is a lot less light than 2. Everybody's out to double-cross everybody in this game. It's a different setting, too. So, like, the first one, right, is in somewhere in Africa, if I remember right. There's a lot. It's a big town, and there's a lot of buildings to rappel off of. There are sections of this game that have a lot of town, and there are sections of this game that do not. Like, there are buildings, but they are like two-story. But there are a lot of trees, and what that means is that you have a grappling hook, and you can Spider-Man your way through the trees, which is pretty fun once you get the hang of it.
Nice.
So you're like using your grappling hook just like Spider-Man using his webs, and you're just swinging tree to tree like Tarzan or something. And
that's crazy.
It is. The locomotion is pretty intense. It's sometimes just the movement of all is fun. It's a parkour game with zombies. Like, the parkour mechanics are pretty darn good. Like, I would say they're the best parkour mechanics since Mirror's Edge. Like, they're so cool. Like, I've got a jump shot where, like, I can be parkouring, and then I can, like, slow down time and use my bow and headshot a zombie, which is insane. Guns are a lot more viable than they used to be, too. The problem is that guns attract runners, and runners are recently turned infected, that, like, so you start popping off your gun, like, all the special infected kind of hone in on you that are in, like, a one-block radius. And sometimes they start crawling out of the sewers, and, like, now you've got, like, a horde of 8 or 9 guys that are, like, hauling ass towards you if you start using a gun. But they've got alternative, like, power weapons, right? Got a flamethrower, which doesn't cause a lot of noise, and it's pretty darn powerful. Molotovs are super powerful in this game. You've got a saw blade gun that I use quite frequently. It's a little bit expensive to make the saw blades, but they do take out some chonkers pretty fast, honestly. So, like, for example, I use a two-handed sword a lot. It's got, like, ice stuff all over it, but it that hits for, like, 750, right? Well, my buzzsaw gun right now hits for 4,000. And it's ranged, although the projectile drops considerably, so you can't really snipe with it. But it's great when you need a force multiplier in a situation. It wants you to go at, like, in the second one, you had these dark zones that you just basically had to creep around the entire time. You still do that. So there's dark zones in this. I typically go during the daytime, and then that just means that you're, like, stealth killing everything in a building like a ninja, and then gathering supplies so you can craft more things, and that stuff all respawns. So you can kind of farm those dark zones for materials. There are sections of the game that are pretty intense, especially for somebody who doesn't care for horror too much. Like, there's a whole nest of, like, those big creepy night stalker guys, and to go in there and, like, place a bunch of explosives and sneak around all of them. So, like, I don't know, it just, like, the game in general is pretty satisfying. The weapons, it's got the best melee combat, I think, in a game since I don't even know what, to be honest with you. Like, it's honestly more satisfying. Melee combat-wise, it's more satisfying than Dark Souls, because everything, like, can be cloven in two. There's, like, a crazy amount of battle damage you do to the zombies, right? Like, hammer hits look different than sword hits, right? You can cut off arms and legs. You do crits, like, you're just, like, cutting a guy diagonally in half, which is insane. Just, like, everything about it's good. Like, I'm having a blast with it. I have to, like, play it in spurts and put it down, because otherwise I'll play it for, like, 4 or 5 hours straight. Because I've got other things to do, and, you know, like, I had to travel for work last week, so that kind of, it's a little bit of a segue into some of the stuff I've been playing that's not nearly as graphically intensive. And Hades 2 finally dropped out of early access right around the same time that Borderlands and Dying Light came out, right? And Hades 2 is just, I got my first Chronos kill. So if you haven't played it, you're in hell, you're Melanoi, I don't know who that is, but daughter of one of the Greek gods, right? Daughter of Hades, I think. And so you're trying to fight your way through hell to get to Chronos. And I guess there's another meta too, but, like, and then on the other side of it, you're trying to fight your way through the overworld to Zeus, I think. I can't remember. Anyways, yeah, I've got,
right.
Huh? Yeah. So, like, I've got 2 in people kills, but I didn't, like, the story is definitely present. Like, it does a really good job of engaging you with the story. Like, every run is just your attempt to get through to get the things done, right? There's an objective after you beat the boss at the end, and I'll say that for somebody who's seeking the story. But basically, there's an objective. And the first time that you get through one of the bosses, it kind of reveals kind of why you're doing that, right? but you're unsuccessful. So, you know, back to the start. And you collect all sorts of items for meta upgrades. You throw stuff in a boiling pot, and that boiling pot gives you meta upgrades for your character. Might mean that different rooms open up in the run that give you additional items, right? It means that, like, it just unlocks all sorts of different characters unlock, different abilities unlock after boiling certain ingredients. You've got a little farm crop from seeds that you're digging up as you're going through the levels. You trade your fish in at a certain point for an additional currency so that you can buy certain things to unlock better cards for your build, right? The materials that you're mining and gathering in these levels as you're going through unlock meta progression for your weapons and the weapon types. You do get more weapon types than what you think you do. Better progression on your gathering utilities, right? And then you gain these things called keepsakes. So as you engage in dialogue with the different gods in the underworld or in the overworld or, you know, wherever, like every time that you get a gift from a god, if you give them a gift, kind of builds a certain meter. And after a certain point, they give you a keepsake. And that keepsake is a modifier for your run. So it might mean that you get an extra life. Like that's one of the keepsakes you can get pretty early on. And until you level up the card that gives you more lives, once you die, you're done, right? But like I'm at a point right now between cards, pets, and keepsakes. I've got 5 lives that I can use. And some points in the dungeons, you sometimes run across vendors that will sell you those lives back, basically, so you have more chances to get through. So, like, there's really good progression loop on this. Like, I feel like I unlock a little something every time I go through a run. And I've got almost 40 hours in this game. I played a lot of this while I've been flying or traveling or just in the evening talking to my girlfriend, right? Like, it's got a really good system going for it, and it just feels really good. It's a really good roguelite, which, no surprise, Supergiant Games, like, knocking that out of the park again. Hades 2 is good.
It's been on my list of things to play for a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's part of the back burner, I have a full list of games I need to get to before the end of the year.
Yeah.
I've
got a back burner game. I've played some Silk Song. I got a little bit sick of side scrollers, so I've kind of put that on the back burner for a minute. It's also it's a very hard, like Super Meat Boy level hard. It's a very difficult game, so you've got to be in a certain groove to play that ad nauseum. And then there is Final Fantasy Tactics: The Ivalice Chronicles, which I've already put 30 hours in since last week. Like I was playing that all morning, waiting on you chuckle fucks to get on so that we could do this. It's good though. It's not just Final Fantasy, so it's called the Ivalice Chronicles, so you can play the old game. Don't remember which version of the old game it is. I don't know if it's the PSP version or the PlayStation version or whatever.
There's two different versions of it. There's the War of the Lions version.
And it's then not that the version.
Classic version.
I think it's the classic version. It's not the War of the Lions version either. So Ivalice Chronicles is slightly different. From what I understand, it adds a lot of cut content to the game. Very notable things, though, is when you go into your jobs, it's not a big wheel that fills out. It's a big list. So we were talking to Dave the other night. We went out for pizza and beers on Friday night. We're talking about it. He's like, yeah, they're missing the job wheel. I was like, I forgot about the job wheel. He's like, yeah, I know it's missing, but it's all right. It also does this thing where they add a filter to it. So it's like almost has a soft pixel CRT filter on it. And it's fully isometric 3D anyway, but you can rotate the camera.
That was a thing before.
Yeah, it looks good. Like, it looks timeless, if that makes sense. And all the characters are fully voiced.
That's new.
I did start it. I should have just, like, paid attention. So it has another things as a difficulty slider. And I was like, I'm a Final Fantasy Tactics veteran. I'm going to put this on the hardest difficulty. So I did. And I struggle bus for about 2.5 hours. And I overleveled my main character and made some mistakes, like pretty hard mistakes early on in the game. And I basically would have had to ground levels with several other characters and got my zodiac signs to line up and all that jazz to get myself back to a working party again. And I was like, okay, screw this. Cut out the pride. I'm going to go with the medium level and start over and actually ditch all your initial companions and pick up new ones. Don't put your birthday in. Put the original birthday because it has better synergy with everything. And yeah, so now my his name Ramza, I think. Yep. Anyways, he has a geomancer right now with a monk. What do you call it? It's a geomancer monk right now, like level 19. I'm in chapter 2. He's doing pretty good. I've got a priest now that has the throw command with potions, so he can basically throw potions plus heal at range and protect at range, right? That game's incredibly addictive. And like just building synergies with different characters and then leveling up some characters and changing jobs around and not just having a whole party of squires, chemists, and knights is really fun. But yeah, that game holds up quite well. It is a masterclass in tactics games. Like that and Ogre Battle are like two of my favorite tactics games ever. And
it is one of the only Final Fantasy games that I have not completed.
It's difficult.
I have not beaten that game. To my shame, that is one of the games that that I have not completed, and I've tried multiple times. What I ran into is I can't remember what chapter it is. It's chapter 3 or chapter 4 or whatever.
Is it the one where you fight solo?
No, there's it's in the point of the story during the double cross.
Oh, like, okay. It's been a while, so I don't remember for sure.
So there's a point where you basically go to the edge of the map and then you have to fight your way back. And when you fight your way back, everybody that was your ally is now your enemy. And there's a massive difficulty spike right around that time. And if you're not prepared for it, it ends runs. It was so bad.
The workaround for that was getting the auto potion and clearing out all of your potion inventory to only be high potions. So that you had the,
like, well,
so you have that and auto res. I don't think you can do auto res and that at the same time.
It was something like there was a point where it's like you could get into a non-winnable, you know, situation in the original game. And that's where I was. And every time I played it, I either forgot exactly when that was going to happen or some other thing happened. It was just like, I've never been able to complete that game, you know, all the way through.
I think it was
to that point and it stops.
I think it was the auto potion strategy was the way I was able to do that. And of course, you can get Ram, like everybody can multi-class, right? And Ramza starts out with high bravery and high magic and high faith, so you can basically make him whatever you want. And I want to say by that point, I was like a priest with the auto potion thing. And on the flip side of it, from the priest, I had some kind of range character. I can't remember what it was. But so say like I had a gun or something like that, and I was using the gun to snipe. And then making sure that I had a pretty decent stock of high potions. But yeah, you're right. Like that spot is incredibly hard. I remember having to basically go back on my saves quite a bit to try to figure that out.
When my buddy was actually playing it, I warned him about a difficulty spike somewhere near midway through the game. And, you know, told him that there's, you know, that he should have multiple saves and not just to overwrite his save. Because there's, issues with that. I overwrote my save almost every time I played it. And I was I need to stop doing this. I have that. That is also a game that I want to play. It's not anything new, but it's a point of pride now. I have to finish that game. I want to see the end of that game. It'll happen eventually.
I'm thinking about like the re-releases, right? Like I have the, Snake Eater as well is on my backlog. I picked that up thinking I was going to play that and then ended up, I was like, oh yeah. And then Borderlands released. And then, oh yeah, Dying Light released. Like all those released all at the same time. And oh yeah, Silksong released. And I think I initially stuck with Silksong and then realized it was a really long game. And I was like, all right, well, my hands hurt playing this for long periods of time. I'm going to play something that's not going to cause my hands to hurt that much. And I played some Borderlands and then Dying Light was out. I was like, oh, I'm going to try that. And that's how this whole path happened. And now I'm over playing more Dying Light than the other ones. And Hades is just perfect for plane trips, right? Like I'm going to kind of passively play that. That's not my primary focus.
Yeah. Well, now that I'm into the place and kind of have my setup built the way that it just needs minor tweaks here and there. I will have more time. I'm getting an hour of my day back just being closer to work. So it is, it's just I will eventually have more time to be able to put into these games, be able to touch some of these games that are on the back burner or that I kind of want to have, want to get through. We're coming up on the time of year, at least in the Northlands, where you don't want to be outside, because it's starting to get cold.
Yeah, it's not. Me and Jason are not quite there yet. It's 89 degrees outside, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah, and it's supposed to be mid 80s all week.
It's not that around here.
We finally start to get
weather's like right now. It's currently 65 degrees up here. It's cloudy, which means that it sucks outside, and it's not going to get any warmer than 73 this week. So
nice.
It's starting to become fall like up here.
I don't think it'll feel like fall till November here.
Well, we're going to take whatever fall we get because the color is changing up here, and I mean it's beautiful outside right now.
It is definitely not. I'm looking at my tree right now, super green. I'm gonna have to mow the lawn again next week.
I mowed my lawn last weekend, and because it immediately got cold, it has not grown one little inch. So I'm hoping that I won't have to mow until spring.
Well,
but that means that the other machine that's in the garage, that I'm super happy I have, the blower, don't use the S word around here until it actually happens. I just need to make sure that that baby's working. Because that'll be the only way I'm going to get out of my driveway.
Right.
But, yeah, that runs on rec fuel.
Hopefully it's a couple more months before you even have to break that thing out.
No, it's going to be like the end of this month.
Snow blowers aren't fun.
I think for the last 2 years, the poor children that were walking around doing their trick-or-treating during Halloween ended up getting snowed out.
Yeah, it's going to be like 75 by Halloween this year.
We're just hoping to not be sweating by then.
It tends to be the first snow happens right around Halloween, and we won't see green until April.
So. All right, guys. Anybody have anything else?
No. I just really want to get into. I really want to get into some games, man. It's been far too friggin' long, and I want to put more time into them now. Now that I've got a place to do it in.
Well, hopefully you get to this next week. And I think with that, guys, find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel's youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify, where you can find both full episodes of the podcast and our news segments.
Yeah, and we've got a few friends of the show. Say, free friends. We've got Pupcast or Picking Up the Pixels on Spotify, as well as TVGP.TV. They do fantastic things. And Boston's still doing it. So with that, it's the end of the show.
All right, guys.
All right. Peace.